good Memorial Day weekend. If you served in the armed forces, would it be okay if you just stood for a moment and we honored you by giving you a round of applause and thanking you for your service? Those of you who have served in the armed forces or are currently serving. Thank you so much for your service, and we hope that you're having a great weekend, all of you. If you're here today and you're visiting with us, we're so glad that you chose to visit with us here today. We are in the second week of a series, Be Bold, and if you happen to miss any of the messages in this series, you can always go online on our website at stoneridgecc.com, and you can watch those messages. You can also watch and listen live. I'd like to welcome those of you who are watching and listening live right now. Well, as I mentioned, we are in the second week of a series, Be Bold, and in this series, we're in the book of 2 Timothy. And what do we know about this guy, Timothy? Well, Timothy was timid. Timothy was actually timid, and therefore the Apostle Paul encouraged him to be bold, encouraged him to be strong. And so he writes a letter to Timothy doing just that. Last week we were in chapter 1, and today we're going to kick off in chapter 2, verse 1, with Paul encouraging Timothy to be strong. Let's jump right in there. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Timothy, Paul says, Timothy, my dear son, be strong, be bold for the Lord. Be strong through the grace that God gives you in Christ Jesus. Timothy, you may feel like you don't have it all together. And as we saw in this opening video, we saw this young lady, and she said, you know what, I don't feel I have it all together. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and I'm focused on who God has called me to be and what God has called me to do. And so here we have the same thing with Paul encouraging Timothy, and I want to encourage you today to be who God has called you to be. He has a plan and a purpose for your life, and so I want to encourage you and let you know that God hasn't given up on you. And so continue to seek him and be strong in him. Why else did Paul encourage Timothy to be strong? Why else did he encourage him to be bold for the Lord? Because God had a mission for him. Just as God had a mission for Timothy, he has a mission for you and me. And what was that mission that God had for Timothy and has for you and me? Well, it's to teach what we're learning about Jesus to others. It's to teach what he had learned about Jesus to others, which is exactly what you and me should be doing. What we're learning, we should be sharing and teaching with those in our family, those we see on a regular basis, telling them what God is doing in our heart, what he's doing in our life. Let's read on here in verse 2. Paul says to Timothy, you have heard me teach things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Now, here's what I want you to do, Timothy. Here's your mission. Here's your mission, Ed. Here's all of our mission. To teach these truths, right? Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. That's a truth that we want to tell people today who are lost, right? That Jesus is the way and the truth of the life. Teach these truths to other trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to others. So who was Paul sharing these truths with? The foundations in the Word of God with? Well, he was sharing these with Timothy. And the question is, who are we sharing these truths with? Who are we telling others about Jesus with? That we see our friends and people here in town, people we work with. Are we doing that? Are we sharing these truths with others? We need to be sharing what we've been learning with others. As we're reading our Bible every day, hopefully you're doing that, and I want to encourage you to do that, to get in God's Word. Jesus said, it is written, man does not live on bread alone, but in every word that comes from the mouth of God. As you get into God's Word and He's teaching you and showing you things each day, those are things that we need to be sharing with other people. My fear is that we're just not doing that. My fear is that we're not doing that. And why? I think it's because we're just too busy doing our own thing, right? The day just goes by fast. Yesterday just was my birthday. I was 49 years old yesterday, and I hope to stay in the 40s because I always want people to say he's in his 40s. So next year when I turn 50, I don't want them to say, well, he's in his 50s. And it was a great day yesterday. We went biking, and we went to Logan's graduation party, and I lifted weights last night, and that's my exercising. And it was about 10 o'clock at night, and I thought to myself, I have not read my Bible today. And I just said, sorry, God, I missed you, and I don't know how I missed you today, but I just got too busy today doing my own thing. And I think that happens to every one of us, right? The day just kind of goes by before we know it. And that's how our weeks often go. We get wrapped up in our things, and we forget kind of what our real mission and purpose in life is. And I like when we looked at this lady in this video, she said, you know, I was so focused. I was so tied up in being this great sea captain there in Chicago that I lost my vision and my focus and my purpose of what God wants me to do and what He has for me. And so I began to shift how I looked at this job and realized, hey, I'm supposed to minister to those around me. Yeah, I want to be a great sea captain. Yeah, I want to do a good job, but I need to change my focus here, so to speak. And so what did Paul tell Timothy he needed to do? Well, the same thing you and me need to do. He said, first, don't get tied up in civilian affairs. Don't get tied up in the things that everybody else is doing today. And we have a tendency to do that, right? Before we know it, we're kind of in the rat race ourselves, and we're doing what everybody else is doing. And Paul says to Timothy, no, don't do that. Don't do what everybody else is doing today, right? Reshift your focus and your priorities. Don't become so obsessed and consumed with things that really don't matter in the end. Let's continue on here in verses 3 and 4. Paul says, endure suffering along with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Timothy, I want you to think about what a soldier is. Right? A soldier is very disciplined, very focused, very driven on the task and the mission they have at hand. And so he's encouraging Timothy to think of himself as a soldier for the Lord. Soldiers don't get tied up in the affairs of civilian life. For them, they cannot please the officer who enlisted them. What is it you're tied up in today that you don't need to be tied up in? I want you to think about your life right now for a moment and everything that you have going on, everything that's on your plate. What is it that you're just tied up in today that you really don't need to be tied up in that? Sometimes people will say to me, Ed, I won't be here for the next month. And then they'll proceed to tell me everything that they have going on in the next month. And I'm like, wow, that's a lot. You got a lot on your schedule. You're doing a lot. Other times I'll ask a family member, where is so-and-so? Where is so-and-so? I feel like I haven't seen them in a while. And they'll say something to me like, well, this is the only weekend they have off. The only weekend they have off, and they're doing such and such. And I'm like, I don't blame them. They should do such and such, right? However, I can't help but wonder why we put ourselves in this position. Why do we do this to ourselves? I think it's because we're just too involved in the things of this world. And what happens when we're just too involved in the everyday things of this world, this life that we live in today. When we're too involved and wrapped up in the things here, we cannot please our commanding officer. That's what Paul told Timothy. When we're too wrapped up in the things here, that we're so busy that we come to the end of our day and we think, oh my goodness, I didn't read my Bible today. I didn't spend time with the Lord. Right? It's very easy. And then one day becomes 2 days, and 2 days becomes 3 days, and before we know it, we've kind of, the Lord is, and His mission and His purpose for our life is kind of on the back burner, and we cannot please our commanding officer if we live this way. So what did Paul tell Timothy he needed to do? First, he told him, don't get tied up in civilian affairs. Don't do what everybody else is doing. Second, he said, we cannot win the prize unless we follow the rules, right? The heavenly prize. We cannot win that prize, and that's the prize we want to win, unless we follow the rules. Verse 5 here. An athlete cannot win the prize unless they follow the rules. I think Paul was an athlete. He talks a lot. He says, for physical training has some value, right? There is some value in exercise and sports, but he says, godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. And he says, think of an athlete. An athlete cannot win that prize, cannot win that medal, unless they follow the rules. Well, I ran track in middle school, specifically the 2 mile event. And let me just tell you, I was slow. Very slow. Just how slow was I? Well, people would lap me. People would lap me. That's how slow I was. Well, one time, the organizers of the race, they didn't realize this. And they thought I and another guy who ran with me, typically, we were just slightly behind the leaders. And so when the leaders crossed the finish line, we followed right behind them. And I thought we had another lap to go. That's what I thought. I thought, we have another lap to go, I'm pretty sure. But the organizers said, no, you're done. You're done. And I was like, I'm glad I'm done. Right? Because I stink at this. I'm not very good at this. So I'm very happy to be done. However, our coach said, no, you guys aren't done. You have another lap to go. Well, they set things up on the track, and they were already on to the next event. And so, in essence, we were disqualified, but nobody cared because we didn't place anyways. And somebody did care, and that was our coach. It mattered to our coach because he said we didn't follow the rules. What we do for the Lord matters, right? What we do for the Lord matters. He wants us to follow the rules. What does this mean? He doesn't want us to do what everyone else is doing today. What is everyone else doing today in society? Well, they're breaking all the rules, right? That's what society does. They're living in sin. They're breaking all the rules. Just because, I'll say it like this. I'll say, if you're single, you need to be committed or devoted to the Lord in body and spirit. Just because everyone else, or you feel like everyone else, is having sex and getting drunk doesn't mean you should. In fact, Paul says in Romans 12, 1 and 2, and you know these verses. He says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all He has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind He will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship Him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. Don't act like everybody else does today. Right? Don't do what everybody else is doing out there today. You're different. You've been set apart by God. You're to be holy. Be holy, God says, as I am holy. Right? But let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Yes, God, transform me as I read your word. Change the way I think about things in this world today. Change the way I look at things so I don't think and act like everybody else does. Why? Because then you will learn to know God's will good and pleasing and perfect. Your will for my life is good and it's pleasing and perfect. So I want your will to be done, not my will. And if you're married, man, make that same commitment to the Lord and your spouse. I'm going to be devoted to you as my wife or as my husband in body and spirit. I made a commitment to you, and I'm going to keep that commitment to you. Right? In purity of heart, in purity of mind. Reading through the book of Proverbs in my quiet time right now, and this verse stood out to me the other day. Solomon says, Proverbs 15 through 17, Solomon says, drink water from your own well. Share your love only with your wife. Why spill the water of your springs in the streets, having sex with just anyone? You should reserve it for yourself. Never share it with strangers. Job, if you haven't read that book in a while, I just finished reading that one too. Man, that's a good book. Job said, I made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully at a girl. We should be devoted to the Lord in body and in spirit. We belong to Him. We cannot win the prize unless we follow the rules. And these rules aren't meant to hurt us, but to help us. They're put in place as safeguards for our benefit. So what did Paul tell Timothy he needed to do? First, don't get tied up in civilian affairs. Second, we cannot win the prize unless we follow the rules. Third, work hard and you will enjoy the fruit of your labor. Work hard and you will enjoy the fruit of your labor. Verses 6 and 7. And hard-working farmers. We got any hard-working farmers here today? I think every farmer is a hard worker, right? Man, they're up at the crack of dawn and they're always doing something. They're never done working. And hard-working farmers should be the first to enjoy the fruit of their labor. Think about what I'm saying, Timothy. You think about what I'm saying. The Lord will help you understand all these things. I grew up on an island in Lower Michigan, about an hour south of Detroit. It was in the Detroit River. It was a nice place to live. I was very blessed to live there. I honestly feel it's a lot like Decorah. I feel Decorah is a nice place to live, and I feel blessed to live here. They had a local newspaper there on our island, much like Decorah here has a local newspaper. And in this local newspaper, they would have a list of about 18 categories or jobs that people needed done on the island. Things like grass cutting, pulling weeds, babysitting, house painting. And this was primarily geared for teenagers in the summer. And so you as a teenager would submit your name to the newspaper and you would put the little category numbers next to your name that you were willing to do. And so when I was 12 to 14 years old, people were calling me all summer long to do odd jobs at their home. From painting, man, I made a mess in some people's homes. From grass cutting to pulling weeds, you know, as a 12 to 14 year old, you know what that looks like. But anyways, that's what I did all summer long. However, there's one job at a lady's house I particularly liked. Now, why did I like it? Because when I finished cutting her grass, she not only paid me, but she gave me Coke in a glass bottle. Now, I've never had Coke in a glass bottle. A cold Coke in a glass bottle on a hot summer day? Whew, man, that is good stuff. That was the reward for my labor. Well, what will our reward for our labor be from the Lord? What will our reward for our labor, right? Work hard, Timothy, Paul told Timothy, and you will enjoy the fruit of your labor. What will our reward for our labor be from the Lord? One of them will be the crown of life. The crown of life. Who is it that will receive this crown? Well, those who patiently endure a testing and temptation. Those who patiently endure testing and temptation. James 1:12 says this, God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterward, they will receive what? The crown of life that God has promised to who? Who has He promised this to? To those who love Him. I think every day we're being tested and tempted by the things of this world. Every day, right? We're being tested and tempted by the things of this world. However, if we work hard, right? If we put our head down and work hard for the Lord, He will reward us. Why? Because this is what He has promised to do for those who love Him. Do you love the Lord? Do you love Jesus? Think about that for a moment. If so, what is it then you need to do? What is it we need to do if we love the Lord? What is it we need to remember? Well, what did Paul tell Timothy he needed to remember? Let's continue on here in verse 8. Always remember, right? Memorial weekend, we're remembering things. This is what Paul tells Timothy to remember. Always remember that Jesus Christ, a descendant of King David, was raised from the dead. This is the good news I preach. What is it Paul was emphasizing here? That Jesus was fully man and fully God. Why do we need to remember this? Why do you and me need to remember that He's fully man and fully God? Because being fully man means He is able to identify with our weaknesses. We saw in this opening video this lady struggling with her identity, who she was and who God had called her to be. But God is able to identify with our weaknesses. Why? Well, Hebrews 4, 15 and 16 tells us, this high priest of ours, Jesus, He's our high priest. This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses. He understands the things you're struggling with today, the things you're thinking about, going through, wondering about, worried about. He understands our weaknesses. Why? For He faced all of the same testings we do, yet He did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive His mercy and we will find grace to help us when we need it the most. Perhaps today you feel like you messed up. Maybe you feel like you messed up as a mom, or you messed up as a dad, or as a husband, or as a wife, or as a youth, or as a teenager, someone in college, or right? Perhaps today you feel like you've just messed up. What is it I want you to know? That you don't have to be afraid to go to Him. Right? Instead, you can boldly come to Him. Why? Because what He has to offer you is His mercy and His grace. In other words, He forgives you. You need to forgive yourself now. And this is truly good news, right? What do we do when we have good news? To be forgiven is good news. What do we do when we have good news? We share it with others. We share it with others. What did Paul tell Timothy would happen when he shared this good news? He would more than likely suffer and be chained like a criminal. I think this is eventually where our world is going and heading and leading to. Eventually, as we share our faith, as we talk about Jesus, more and more doors are going to be closed in our face, and we're going to suffer and eventually even be chained like a criminal. We will, because that is what will happen in the end times. However, Paul tells Timothy, just because he might be chained, the Word of God is not chained. Therefore, Timothy needed to be willing to endure anything. Why? Because it would bring salvation to those who were lost. 9 and 10, he says, and because I preach this good news, because I'm telling my family, my friends, my neighbors, my coworkers, the people I love, I'm suffering and have been chained like a criminal. I'm in chains. But the Word of God cannot be chained. Right? It cannot be stopped. So I'm willing to put up with anything. I'm willing to endure anything, being made look foolish or silly, whatever people may think about me, if it will bring salvation and eternal glory in Christ Jesus to those God has chosen. If it's going to lead them to Jesus and bring them to heaven, then I'm willing to put up with any look I might receive from someone else. Are we willing to endure anything if it will bring salvation to those who are lost? Are we willing to endure anything? Awkwardness? If it will bring... I don't know that I am. I don't know that I am. I'll tell you what, I get discouraged by the littlest of things. I give up so easily. I send out a group text about a Bible study and no one responds. I invite a new family to lunch. Here when new families come, I always say, any Sunday you want to go out to lunch, we're always available. Our treat will take you and your family out to lunch. You're like, I missed that deal. Well, you can still get in on it. Right? A few weeks ago, we asked the family. The gentleman came up to me with his wife after church. He said, how about next Sunday? I said, great, let's do it. And the following Sunday, we went out to lunch. I went home that day and I said to Monica, how often has that happened this last year? We've invited a couple out to lunch on a Sunday after church, and they said, yeah. And Monica said, I think it's the first time in about a year. I said, I don't know why that is. Maybe people just don't like me. That can't be it. I don't know what it is. Maybe I just need to try harder because people are just so busy. Maybe that's it, right? Because people are always like, well, thanks, but we got this going on. Right? Maybe another Sunday. We can't this Sunday. Perhaps you too can relate. You get discouraged when you're unable to connect with people. And after a while, you begin to think, well, why even bother? Why even bother trying to connect with them? Right? I'm busy. They're busy. I'll tell you why. Because what we have is worth dying for. That's why we bother and we attempt to connect and build a relationship. What is it then we need to do? As we close out here with four things, real quick, Paul told Timothy, here's what we need to do. First, we have to die to ourselves. Man, I don't even have the first one done. Dying to myself, I'm all about myself. I struggle with this every day. But if we're going to lead people to Jesus, we have to die to ourselves, to our schedule, to our wants, to our desires. What happens when we die to ourselves? Well, we're going to live with Him. I want to live with Him. I want to walk with Him. I want to be with Him. What else do we need to do? Second, we have to endure hardships. I don't know what the hardship may look like, right? Maybe some awkwardness, maybe some uncomfortableness. But if we do this, we will one day reign with Him. Third, we have to acknowledge Him. We have to acknowledge Him. What happens when we don't acknowledge Him? If we deny Him, He will deny us. Right? Sometimes we may act like we don't know who He is because we don't talk about Him. Fourth, we have to be faithful. We have to be faithful. Why? Because when we're faithful, when we're committed and focused on what He's called us to do, on the mission that He's given us in our workplace, we show people who Jesus is. Listen to what Paul says to Timothy here as we wrap up, verses 11 through 13. This is a trustworthy saying, he says to Timothy. If we die with Him, right? In other words, if we die to ourselves, we will also live with Him one day. Yes, Lord Jesus, I want to live with You one day, and I want to be with You one day. If we endure hardship, we will reign with Him. If we deny Him, He will deny us. Help me, Lord, not to deny You, but to acknowledge You and to talk about You. If we are unfaithful, forgive us for who here isn't. He remains faithful, for He cannot deny who He is. Thank God for that. So what is is Memorial Weekend all about? It's about remembering our men and women who fought for us. As Christians, what is it we want to remember? What do we want to remember as Christians? Not only our men and women who fought for us, but our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ who died for us. What does the Lord ask of us? Well, He asks three things. That we not get tied up in civilian affairs. That we not lose our focus and get tied up in the things that everybody else in this world is tied up in today. That we follow the rules, right? He's given us them here in His Word. Help me, Lord Jesus, to be obedient to You and what You've called me to do. And that we work hard. It's hard work telling others about Jesus, right? It takes some work thinking about it. And maybe you're here this morning and you're like, you know, Ed, I haven't been doing those things. I think I'm tied up in too many things. I haven't been living the way I believe God wants me to live in my marriage, in the house, in our family, at my workplace. And I'm not working hard to tell others about Jesus. I'm kind of like that lady in the opening video. I've been all about my job, or I've been all about this thing. And I need to change. But you know what? You can change today. You can change today. Maybe you're here this morning, you've never asked Jesus in your heart to be your Lord and Savior. That's the number one change you need to make. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, Lord Jesus, we thank You for Your Word. It's powerful and it's convicting. Maybe you're here this morning with heads bowed and eyes closed and you say, Ed, I don't know Jesus. Well, I know about Him, but I haven't let Him transform the way I think and act. And it's because I really have never invited Him into my heart and into my life. And I want to do that this morning. If that's you, then I want to lead you in a prayer that you pray softly and quietly in your heart as you repeat these words after me. And here they are. Lord Jesus, I ask You to forgive me for my sins. I thank You for dying on the cross for me. I ask You to come into my heart and change me and make me like You. If you just prayed that prayer, God will honor that prayer. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, Ed, I'm a Christian, but I've just got too many things going on right now in my life. And I know I've become distracted from who God's called me to be and what He wants me to do. I can relate to the end of my day coming every day and thinking, what did I do today? What did I accomplish? Why am I doing this? I've lost focus of what God wants me to do, and peace is what's missing in my heart and in my life. I'm not following the rules. Maybe you're here today and you're like, Ed, I'm in a relationship that I just know is not appropriate. Or I just know that's not what God wants for me. And I need to make some changes today. I need to stop doing this. Maybe today you're like, Ed, I have not been working hard at telling my family about Jesus or the people I work with. And I'm kind of like Timothy. I haven't been bold. I've been timid. I've been afraid to do that because I don't know what they're going to say. But I feel like God is teaching me every day. I'm reading His Word, and I need to pour this out because it's bubbling up inside of me. Would You pray for me that God would give me boldness to tell others about Him and what He's doing in my life? Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters in Christ, and I pray for myself in all of these areas as I struggle in each and every one of them. Help us, Lord, not to get tied up in things down here that we become so obsessed and consumed that we forget what our purpose in life is. Help us, Lord, to be obedient to You and to Your Word, that we may be devoted to You in body and spirit. Help help us to work hard that we may, when we go somewhere, we may think about who it is that we need to strategically talk to and tell them about you and what you're doing in our heart and in our life. Draw us closer to you. Mold us into your image and likeness. And may your will be done in our lives. May we always remember Jesus Christ, a descendant of King David, raised from the dead, that we have a high priest who understands all of our weaknesses, yet he did not sin. And we can boldly come to him and his throne because he gives us grace and he gives us mercy. He forgives us. Thank you, Lord, for your forgiveness. This is truly good news. May we share that with others. It's in your name we pray. Amen.